Welcome back to the Loose Ballers. Of course, we're here thanks to Mazda. Check out the brand new Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. On today's chat, we talk about Cripps' contract. I'm not convinced he's a completely signed. St Kilda, Willie Rioli's back, crowds at local footy. Stay with us too throughout the week. We've got a very, very special guest coming, Joshy. Stay with us. Good afternoon, Dylan Buckley. How are you?
Hello, my friends over there in the West. Josh Gallup and Xavier Ellis, my two good friends over there in the West. How are you?
Mate, we're going really well. How'd you go this morning on radio with Mickey Barlow? I saw on socials that you two were mucking around. Of course, Fremantle's very own. How's things?
Yeah, very good, very good. Mick said that he keeps trying to throw me under the bus after that debacle that happened when Freo retweeted my tweet saying Dave Mundy was the best of all time when I was actually agreeing with them.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to like build this rife with me in the Western Australian community.
Oh.
I don't know how many times I have to say I love Western Australia. I don't know how many times I have to say I love the West Coast Eagles to be accepted in it.
So you don't like Fremantle?
I'm a family in WA. I just want to say this now. No, I love Fremantle. I love everything about it. I love the Swan.
Yeah.
And it's all good.
It's all good. I don't know whether Mick told you, but I actually heard you guys pop our radio show a couple of weeks ago on air. I caught wind that you gave us a bit of shit. So I don't know if Mick told you, but I definitely return serve on air. So I don't know if Mick brought that up, but I heard things are going well for you.
No, they are, and we didn't look. I think we chose to just not go at that. You guys are a big network over there. You're a very strong, powerful group of men. I think we just knew maybe let's just let that one slide and move on.
Yeah, great. I thought there might have been retribution coming, but I haven't heard it yet. Hey, Joshy Gallup's here, and he's got the mic on. Very creative, does his videos, very funny.
He's everywhere at the moment.
I know.
He's everywhere at the moment. He's on podcasting. He's the biggest man on TikTok in Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know how he hasn't got his own podcast yet. I literally need to speak to Rhino. Does Rhino know that he's got one of Australia's best up-and-coming talents under his nose and it's not giving him any airtime?
But also, guess what I got yesterday out of the blue?
Oh, he didn't want you to pick him up on his bike again in the U?
Well, close. Close. Might have a cameo appearance. I'm just putting it out there. There might be a cameo coming up.
Wow.
Yeah, he's made the call. Got the call up.
I got the call up to do a cameo on Joshy Gallup's video, so I can't wait for that. But he's got one at the moment.
Hey, X, don't take that for granted, by the way. You know, I know you're the man of the people in both Australia, all over Australia, Victoria, WA, but Joshy's audience is very niche.
Don't expect that.
You've got to really just do what he says.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But it's his platform. I'm literally a puppet. Yeah. You pull my arms, pull my legs, do what you need to do, put me where you need me. And even like, it was like when I requested to star in a movie, I just wanted to be like standing at a bar or something and like that. Nah, mate, it's not for you. So I'm happy to do anything, Josh.
I'm next.
Yeah, okay. Deal's in next.
I deal what? Can you not say that? Because you'll just get a knock on your door at 1 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, by the way, remember 6 months ago you said it?
You get the phone out and hold it out. His new video is about, you know, when you go to a mate's place or whatever and you're having a beer and there's no bottle top openers?
I'm mad double like that.
Do you have a trick? Do you have any tricks? How do you open the stubby?
Mum's going to hate me saying this, but if it's a non-twist top, I can rip it with the teeth.
Oh, he's a tooth bandit.
It makes me scared of watching someone do it because it's just surely it chips eventually or something.
I can easily, for some reason, just on the left side of my tooth, I can do it. It's actually quite easy. Another one that I was real cool at, I don't know if this is because I'm really skinny fat and my skin's quite, elastic, is I can actually do the one with a twist top where you put it in your like arm and you twist it.
I've got no tricks at all. Like, I look like an absolute fifth grade amateur, AFL to fifth. Like, I turn them upside down and I can't pop them. I've tried my tooth, that just cracked it. I put them on the table, I've snapped the end of my table. I just don't have a trick up my sleeve. Luke Shuey's the king of the tooth as well. I feel bad asking, but Josh, mate, it's so good. What's yours, Joshy?
I can just do it with any sort of other bottle or anything.
The upside down tech.
Used to do the
That's cool.
The bang off on the edge of the table, then you just smash it through your hand one day and you never do it again, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm actually really cool with the lighter as well. That's a nice one that you just sort of pop it off with the lighter.
Were you ever like a social, not to say social, like obviously not, but were you ever a smoker? Like when you were out, would you ever grab a dart?
Fair to say I'm big on the vapes at the moment, not going to lie.
Are you vaping?
Especially after a couple of bloke in a bars, there's nothing better than just jumping on the vape.
What like when you're just so when you're sitting at home or
it's so like I wouldn't have my own. It's just, you know, as soon as your mate just pass on you, oh, I'm gonna suck on this vape. Yum.
So like the Juuls, the ones they can't have.
Yeah, the Juuls. No nicotine, just the
flavor.
Pure like apple, watermelon, grape.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun, you know. After a couple of beers, you just feel like you're a dragon.
Sorry, just one question. We had Matera on Hub or Gets on Thursday with Chris last week. He was saying him and Pete smoked their entire careers, yeah, like 25 a day.
Wow. Midfield.
Do you remember players like that?
Yeah, I reckon Geelong there might be a couple. Like, and I'd guess maybe Chappie liked a fag or I know like Hawk. When we were younger and like we'd have a ciggy.
You're trying to say that. Yeah. I know what you mean. There is like, I was never a big smoker. I actually just hated smoking. Like I don't like the smell or the taste. Even if someone is around me doing it, I just don't really like it. But the Juul is funny. I do like that one. When I say I've done it, I've probably done it three times in my life.
You opened up as though you're sitting at home vaping on the regular watching Home and Away. Yeah. But, hey, Dill,
can we wrap this up? I need a vape.
Yeah. Mate, you're in Victoria. What's happening? Are you allowed out or what?
Just vaping. We are allowed out. Went out a few beers on the weekend, which is nice. I'm not sure that – so there's something actually just broke this afternoon and the footy obviously is going ahead in Victoria. So VFL and local footy is going ahead, but they're still unsure of crowds as yet. So I'm not sure if crowds are going to be going to games.
7,000.
Which I don't know how to place that, to be honest.
7,000 allowed to go to the Geelong Bulldogs game, but right. no one from Melbourne. So you have to be living in the Colac, the Geelong, whatever those areas are, Torquay area. So they got 7,000 on Friday night, which is not great. But I loved hearing Jeff Kennett argue why there should be crowds at the MCG. Did you hear Jeff Kennett?
No, I didn't.
There's 100,000 walk around the tan. The grog shops are open and the brothels are open.
Honestly, the biggest thing that's getting used at the moment is for anything that's not open, everyone's just saying the brothels are open. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that every time they say this, I don't actually think they are open.
No, I think they are.
But everyone just keeps.
I think they are open. That's a look at Dill trying to play. Look at Dill trying to play sneaky.
Too busy vaping.
Yeah, vaping. The career of the vapor. So 7,000 this weekend, and then hopefully the weekend after there should be 50% at the G, I'd imagine, which with crowd numbers at the moment anyway, 50% is probably about as much as you're going to get in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Because they're a long way down. Hey, Dill, you're big into the Carlton. Yes. You're the Carlton cheerleader. You're on the floggers behind the goals. You love it. Harry signed you, beauty. I'm getting text messages on the text line at work. So we just got the text line texting anytime. Someone's been texting me every day for 2 weeks. Paddy Cripps hasn't signed. Paddy Cripps hasn't signed. And I'm like, well, he has. There's an article. I get it up and it's like, oh, in accordance to what the Herald Sun's written, Paddy Cripps is going to sign. And not one thing has said Patrick Cripps has officially signed. Has he officially signed?
To be honest, I have no idea. I saw that article a few months back saying that everything was looking good. I saw him on the weekend, like on TV. I think he was getting asked about it and it's taking time to get done. But, yeah, it does beg the question, like, what is the holdup?
Yeah.
But from all we can say is it looks like he's committed to the club. He said that publicly he's committed. I don't know why it's taking this long. And the reason I don't know why it's taking this long isn't because I don't think there's anything untoward going on behind the scenes. It's just genuinely, I don't know what a contract negotiation actually looks like because I never had any contract negotiations in place. Yeah. Like there was just like take this or leave it. There was no going back and forward over things. But yeah, I don't know, but I think until it's signed on paper, there probably still will be some nervous people, but it does look like he is going to sign. And Harry Mackay, to be honest, he's, you know, without saying, I think it goes unsaid, he's probably the most important player for the future of that club, yeah, you know, having his name on, you know, inked in.
Well, I actually laughed the other day. I was listening to someone talking about, you know, the potential best players or whatever, you know, King Harry, King Boys Harry, Oscar Allen, obviously there's a lot of them. The player that misses out on these chats is, and because he's not a key position player, but I still think he's the best by a trillion miles, Sam Walsh. Like, you know, we all get our knickers in a knot about these key position players, but we overlook Sam Walsh as just the best player in that, of that. I don't care that he's not taking three contested marks a game. He is the best by so far amongst any of those young crop.
It's honestly astonishing. Like, as you said, I've got a connection to Carlton. You know, I don't watch the footy every week or anything, but watching this bloke, he literally gets better every time you see him. Mm. He's like, he's skillful, he's fit, he's hard. But I think the most intriguing thing about him is like his effort. Like, it's just unwavering. He's just so committed to just doing well and working for your team. He's like that player that, you know, hopefully you've experienced this because I know I definitely have. Sometimes you walk off the ground and I can try my absolute hardest, but it's hard to look blokes in the eye because I go, bloody hell, I could have been better today.
Yeah.
Sam Walsh, you know what you're getting every time you walk off. Like, you just know what you're getting from him every time. And they're the players that you build clubs around.
Yeah, great. He, it's like he's been there for 200 games, so he doesn't fall into the conversation of he's only played 50 games. Like, he's expected in the Brownlow markets, all that sort of stuff. He is incredible. The one that at Carlton is Sam Doherty, you're closely friends with. Mm-hmm. How's his season been? I thought pretty good, but someone said the other day that, well, today actually in a podcast, that he's had a bit of pressure on him, but I thought he was going well.
I wouldn't say there's been pressure on him, maybe externally. I know internally he's one of the most highly rated players. Yeah. He's you know, to put into comparison, he's a lot like a Luke Hodge in terms of what he does, in terms of setups, leadership on field, all these sort of things. Now, I know when you're not winning, you're not getting the recognition you deserve in those space at all, and it's very hard to play that position, a drop-off position when the ball's coming in a million miles an hour. I also think that the fact that Saad and Zachy Williams, because they probably haven't been in their number one best form yet either, it's made him then move and have to fill another spot.
Yeah.
So because those guys have gone back to halfback and just playing that traditional halfback flank role, Doc's had to move to the wing, he's had to move into to the midfield. So I think they're just learning to how best play with those three in the same team. And Doc's so selfless that he'll, you know, he'll go anywhere and really play a really good role for the team. But look, he'd be the first person to say he's not at his all Australian form, that's for sure. But he still is having a massive impact at the club, and his leadership is, you know, second to none.
Yeah, I just want to turn back to Sam Walsh because I just had a thought then. Throughout your years playing footy, so you know we turn up and neither of us were the best aerobic runners, neither of us were the strongest in the gym, neither of us could jump the highest or whatever. So Sam Walsh, from all reports, is the best runner at the Carlton, or near enough to the best runner. Throughout your time, did someone who was the best runner or the second best runner or the third best runner not make it in AFL? I'm just thinking from my experiences, the best runners were Isaac Smith, 200-odd games. Brad Hill, best and fairest on 900-odd. Chris Maston, 200 games. Andrew Gaff, 200 games. It's almost like if those people at the front of the 2K time trial or whatever you do, 2-3K, running, the running attribute is unbelievable correlation between being good. Like, if I could wish for something, I wish I could just run better, like run and run and run. Yeah. Who were the ones? Can you think of one that was at the front of those running tournament running things? Sam Menegola was another one. It's Gunn. Any that just did not make it.
Josh Smith, who was West Coast the other week, he won the preseason and then played one game.
Okay.
But even though, for example, with that argument there is the players that didn't make it, it's like, well, if they weren't fit, they probably would have been absolutely nowhere near the beginning. For example, like some of the I totally agree with this. Like, everyone thinks that you want pace, you want all these things. But aerobically as well, there's only so much better you could get before diminishing returns comes in. Like, you're not going to go from coming last to winning that in the space of your career. It's just not feasible because you're probably not actually using all your other strengths that you need. But you're right, the best runners I've seen are players that play the most, and realistically, they're the ones that are the most consistent with even like injuries. They don't really get injured. They don't, nothing already happens to them. So Ed Curnow is one that just gets it done.
Ed Curnow.
Tom Scully was the best I've seen.
Yeah.
And the one that sticks to mind that definitely made it, but harshly as a friend, I always rip into him, was 2K time trial specialist Tommy Sheridan.
He
described the 2K time trial specialist. He absolutely loved it. And another one actually who was one of the best runners, you wouldn't believe how good this bloke was at running for the size he was. He's 105 kilos, midfielder, big boy, big Tommy Bell. It was at Carlton and at Brisbane as well. He was like one of the best runners you've seen. Still runs, you know, Ks and Ks a week as we speak. But just being that big and strong, and he still was able to run so well.
And carrying that chin around. He got a big chin on him, doesn't he? Big chin. Yeah, I know.
It's a big head.
It's a block, is it? Well, man, who was the blockhead at Carlton? They used to call him, was it Watson? Big Watson.
Matty Watson. Yes.
Matt Watson, they used to comment about his big, he used to be called blockhead or something on Triple M. I can't remember.
Champion. What he's a champion, man.
Was he? Did he come over to Perth? I reckon he did.
He did. Yeah, he played with
East Fremantle.
I think he played with East Fremantle, yeah.
Yeah, with your mate Blaine.
Bocorst.
Yeah. I'm doing the East Fremantle game this week. I'm doing a little package on him before the game.
Oh, please do. He's a great man.
Yeah, I'm going to do one on Blaine. Just one of those important players to watch. Hey, St Kilda in the headlines deal. Seb Ross, Tim Membry and Paddy Ryder got pulled into it again regarding his time off. But do you, as a player, ex-player, support a dad or soon-to-be father to go home and skip a game of football whenever it is, regardless of the situation? If they say they need to go home for their kids or their wife, do you support that, or are you in the camp that, oh, you're paid to be a footballer, surely you can balance it out a little bit?
No, family comes first, mate. I think that's an obvious one. It's very hard to argue at this point. Anyone that understands that, I just don't see it. I do understand that there's commercial obligations and you sign contracts and all these things, but any single person that works in the workforce now, you know, I was just chatting to a mate yesterday who's a father, and he's got, you know, like 3 months, leave after having a child.
Yeah.
So I think now it's just crazy how supportive and how good that is for everyone. But why does it differ for AFL players? I didn't like what was said. I understand that there was probably something there that we don't know why it was really said yet.
Yeah.
And you're referring to the Caroline Wilson on Footy Classified.
But yeah.
Look, I think that those players wouldn't be batting an eyelid. Their teammates, obviously they want their teammates to play, but they're not going to, I don't think it says anything about a culture of a footy club that if these things are happening. And like I said, mate, at the end of the day, family does come first. You got to look back and look after your wife and your kids, and that is the most essential thing. And you being a father, I'm sure would agree.
Oh, mate, you pack up as quick as you can, regardless of what is happening. I'm sure the players. I find it really interesting because somehow out of St Kilda, and the high ranking St Kilda officials, I think was what was used, had obviously had an issue with it, and they did debate whether they let the two guys go home. I just can't fathom that you would debate whether two players can go home to be with their family during a pandemic and lockdown in Melbourne. Like, so Caro's obviously got the information from somebody at St Kilda. I just can't fathom how it was a topic of conversation in terms of yes or no. Like, Tim Membry and Seb Ross. Seb's won two best and fairest there, and Tim Membry's a middle-aged leader of that football club. I don't think they're skipping footy because they can't be bothered. I don't think that's the reason. So, and then Paddy Ryder got pulled into it because he had obviously 7 weeks off or whatever it was for, quote, emotional reasons. I mean, men these days, their greatest issue in men in society around the whole, and you do a bit of work in this space still, so you're probably better to speak about it than I am. But don't we want men to be able to put their hand up and say, hey, I need to take a break from something, or I need to go away for a month, or I need to have a weekend off because the mental stresses you might be under, surely that just compounds and you don't want to find a bloody point in your life where you explode. I find that, the mental health side of things, to question, you know, deeply why someone needs to go home to their family, equally as concerning.
Well, firstly, it's actually no one's business.
Yeah, exactly, like, right. It's 100%.
Genuinely, it's actually no one's business what people are doing.
Yeah.
This is a job. like play, as you said, you summed it up so well that you said that these guys, it's not like they're going, oh, I'm pretty tired this week, just going to go and say, need to go see the family. Like that's not how it works. That, you know, there's obviously some serious things, personal issues going on that these players needed to get back to. The birth of your child and, you know, looking after a young children that have just been born is, we've wrapped it up, but it's family comes first. And around that mental health space, something that the AFL is so passionate about. So to maybe have, you know, murmurs of club members not being happy about it and being transparent with the players of, you know, letting them leave, I don't think it is a good look. And especially if it was something that was leaked, I'm not sure. I really don't know what the story is there, but
yeah.
Look, it doesn't look good, does it?
No, and of course, like, and to extend on that, a selling point. So Hawthorn was known as the family club. They've been known that forever. It's just a slogan that they've used and had, whatever. Come to recruiting this year, it's just a tiny little scratch next to St Kilda's mark. If you're a middle-aged person with young kids or married or potentially going to have kids, you think, oh, well, not really a lot of support. You know, this just makes it a few more questions as to the St Kilda Football Club and maybe the position that they might put you in if you do need to go somewhere is an issue. But, yeah, I found that really intriguing and, it pissed me off a bit, to be honest with you. But thankfully, Seb and Tim got home and to their families and whatnot, and they'll be back bigger than ever. And the topic of conversation about, oh, well, as long as they hand their money back, I'm sure they would. I'm sure if it came to it and they said, oh, we're not going to pay you because you're not here, I'm sure they'd say, there's no money in the world that can equal what I'm going to do for my wife or my kids or whatever it is. So the money conversation, you can jam that in your ass too, to be honest. Sorry, I just said that.
You're quite right. And it's like to say that if someone in the general workplace took a week off work, I'm sure there's a thing called long service leave or sick leave that you still get paid for while you're
parental leave.
So look,
Anyway, interesting stuff. Well, off the back of a pretty ordinary story, a turn of events. Willie Rioli's due to return to West Coast, an 8-week training block pre-season or whatever it was. Did you ever have to do a mini pre-season within a season? That sort of became a bit of a vogue thing towards the end of my time was, oh, you've got a 2-week hamstring or whatever, but we're going to give you 6 weeks to train you up properly. Did you ever have to do the mini pre-season within a season?
Yes. I did that most probably just did a foot two. Years of just pre-seasons, just back-to-back pre-seasons. and it is a lonely place, but, oh, geez, how exciting is that for West Coast supporters and the team to get, you know, the potential of really Rioli to come back. If anyone can do it, it's him. You know, he's just absolutely electrifying. And I said this, I've said it a couple of times this week, but I genuinely think we may, and this is a big call. But we may have seen the grand final preview last weekend, West Coast versus Richmond.
Jesus, there you go. Mate, that crowd on a Sunday night, the Eagles boys will be as flat as a tack that JK kicked that goal because they're going to be locked into so many Sunday night games. The audience was ginormous on TV. Obviously, there's 50,000 there, so the Eagles supporters turned up. It is the worst time slot in the history of the game for a player to play on. You've got no time on your weekend, no chance to go out, no chance to have a beer, no chance to do anything with your life Sunday night game. So JK kicking that stitched up his teammates for the next 5 years, unfortunately, for those lads. But that joint absolutely went nuts on Sunday night. It was like 50. Reminded me a little bit of when Bud Franklin kicked a goal in 07 against Adelaide in a final. I don't know if you've seen, you remember if you said it was a set shot and he turns around.
Oh,
and
yes, against Adelaide.
Yeah, and they all jump at Eddie Hadley. Well, Telstra Dome back then. Go off the head. Like, I love, my favourite things to do is in a moment where a goal after the siren or an amazing goal, you slow motion on the crowd and you see like the raw emotion, genuine happiness you see amongst, or even the despair you see on the Richmond, you know, fans' faces or, I love seeing the actual raw excitement on TV.
Yeah, mate, me too. I know this is bad, probably not the best thing to say, but I love watching games on TV. I find you get a lot more out of it than even going there live.
Yeah.
Especially the way it's you know, shown these days. That was so good to watch. Such an awesome game to watch. And I love watching those two teams go about it. So that was why I was thinking, you know, every week I say about West Coast, but they look like they're slowly – slowly getting some things together. They're getting some players back, and you want to start hitting your straps at this time of the year, getting momentum, getting confidence. So who knows?
No, I agree wholeheartedly. So Willy Rioli, he'll play, I think it's like the last round of the year, and then into finals. Can you remember when Willy was playing? Did you have him or Liam Ryan? If you had to pick one, yeah, obviously, if you had to pick one at the time, it's probably hard to think back. I saw a shitload of them. Yeah.
Back then, I would have taken Willy Rioli. I would have taken Liam Ryan. Okay. Because Willy Rioli, I remember how he was just like unbelievable. But now, I just would not go anywhere near Liam Ryan. Like, I don't know how you play on him. You've nearly got to play a tall defender because he jumps so high.
Yeah.
But then again, they're not as, you know, the tall guys aren't as agile to go with him on the ground.
Well, that was the issue at Subiaco. When he played at Subi, he played full forward, like literally played full forward. You'd send your best defender on him tall and he'd get you on the lead up every time. You put a small on him, he'd sit on your head. But Willy Rioli, and it's unfortunately got to think back a long time now, I had him sitting above Liam Ryan in terms of like talent, skill, importance, output. If they can add Willy, and I know he's cocked up, and I've been pretty passionate that I thought he should have been suspended, but you know, it's all been passed on now, and he's good to go. So hopefully, we do see Willy at his best in a final at Optus, into the MCG, or whatever it is. It's going to be something special. Now, last couple ones for you, Dil, before we do go. Bye weekends, mate, in the AFL. Do you enjoy them or not enjoy them? As a player, I used to love them. But less games over 3 weekends. Would you rather just a quick hit and have the whole weekend off, or maybe 2 weekends, half-half? How do you see the buys?
Yeah, I reckon as a player, it doesn't make a difference whether it's 3 weeks or two. I'd much rather it just be over the 2 weeks, less games, and just get it done in a two-week period. The three-week stretches out, and it is strange, isn't it? Like, I feel even when they do the buy, for some reason, they still don't put the games on like the best time slots. Yeah. They put them in like these really weird time slots.
Yeah.
I'm like, mate, just do all the prime time games and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because they don't do that, it just sort of ruins it. So keep it on 3, put them in the good time slots, or put it to 2 and just get it done with.
All right, mate, last one. Me and Joshy are big basketballers. We're both pretty good. I don't know if you ever heard, Joshy went to Norway to play basketball. Do you want to hear that story?
Oh, I haven't heard that as yet. How long we got?
mate, Melbourne United, Perth Wildcats, 5-game series. Are you a fan of grand finals that go over periods of time, or you just love that one-hit wonder?
I am a fan of – I don't – even with the NBA, I'm not massive on like the 7 series or whatever it is. I just think it's just – you know, it's way too many games.
Yeah.
In Australia, I don't think we really have the demand for 5 series. I think it stretches on. People get a little bit bored of it. If you're asking me, who's not a massive fan of basketball as it is, I'd rather it over a short time, 3 games. Yeah. I can still stay interested the whole thing.
What about the AFL?
A bit more like the Stadium of Origin setup.
Do you love the AFL one-off, or would you like all best of 3?
Do not even suggest that.
Okay.
Do not even suggest that.
Right,
it is a grand final, and that's it. 1 game. If we started going to that setup as an AFL, I would move countries.
All right, so we'll just keep giving the advantage to those in Melbourne.
Are you both happy with the number of...
By the way, though, just not just saying this to suck up to my Western Australian... West Coast fans and Fremantle fans. I would be more than happy to share the grand final. I don't... You know, we've seen over the last month how good Dreamtime at P was, what a success that was.
Yeah.
Adelaide Oval's incredible to watch from. You know, they don't have the full stadium there, so I think they'd need to close that off and not have the standing area if they wanted to actually do games there as well. But I'd be happy with, you know, anywhere really. Like
okay.
The Gabba even was a good grand final, but I'd say Perth is a second to Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, mate, we're going to leave it at that. Go get yourself a beer, start vaping. And we'll catch you next week.
See you, mate. I'll see you soon, and stay busy.
See you, mate. Thanks for listening to the Loose Ballers. Of course, again, thank you very much to Mazda. Check out the brand new BT50, the complete package. Plenty more footy on the way. Enjoy the weekend. Go the Eagles, go the Dockers, go the Hawks. All the best. Enjoy your night. Bye.